If you turn with us to the book of Isaiah, chapter number 9. Book of Isaiah, chapter number 9. It's one of the greatest prophetic chapters in the Old Testament. Of Isaiah, chapter number 9. If you're willing and able, stand. We'll honor the reading of the Word of God this morning. Found the book of Isaiah, chapter number 9. Verse number 1, nevertheless, the dimness shall not be as was in our vexation. One of the first, the lightly afflicted, the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea beyond Jordan in Galilee of the nations. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shine. Thou hast multiplied the nation and not increased the joy. Thy joy before thee according to the joy in harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressors as in the day of Midian. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise, garments rolled in blood. This shall be with burning and a fuel of fire. Here the children of Israel, they've undertaken the judgmental hand of God. They've worshipped Baal. They've turned away from God. Now the Lord has brought judgment upon this nation. Now in verse number 6, Isaiah the great prophet, he pens down these words, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder, his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it, to establish it with judgment, with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. You may be seated this morning. Father, we bless you for this time together today. I pray you'd use these scriptures, Lord, to challenge us and encourage us, to teach us and to minister unto us. Thank you for this time together now around thy word. I pray you'd bless it. You'd help us, use us to be a blessing to the people of God. I'll be careful to honor you and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. If you have a pen in hand, look in verse number 12, if you would, in this text. The Bible said, the Syrians before and the Philistines behind, they shall devour Israel with open mouth, for all this his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. It says it again in verse 17, therefore the Lord shall have no joy in their young men, neither shall have mercy on their fatherless and widows, for every one is a hypocrite and an evildoer. Every mouth speak of folly, for all this his anger is not turned away, here's our phrase, but his hand is stretched out still. Verse 21, Manasseh, Ephraim, Manasseh, they together shall be against Judah. For all this his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. In other words, the Bible's teaching us that God loves his people. They would not repent of their sins. They would not repent of their wrongdoings. God trying to get their attention. And he said, but I want to always remind you this, that my hand is stretched out still. I'm glad that hand is still available today. It's available to our nation. It's available to our community. It's available to our lives. Many times God tries to get our attention, and he can't get our attention, but he wants us to realize I've still got my hand stretched out still. But verse number 6 I want to preach out of this morning. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And here's our phrase I'm interested in, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. I want to preach on this subject a few minutes this morning on no wonder they call Him Wonderful. No wonder they call Him Wonderful. As we've sung songs this morning, our spirits and our hearts have been lifted. We are reminded that He is wonderful. Here the Isaiah, the great prophet, could have said anything. This word, it simply means to be supernatural or extraordinary. That's why I like Jesus so. He's supernatural and He's extraordinary. He responds in ways that nobody else responds. He gives in ways that nobody else gives. But this morning, let's look at no wonder they call Him wonderful. Within this text, first of all, you'll notice He's wonderful in His humanity. For the Bible said, unto us a child is born. Can I tell you this was not an ordinary birth? But the Bible says that the Holy Ghost came upon a young virgin woman named Mary. She was espoused to a man, Joseph, and it disturbed her. And boy, the angel cried and said to her, "Fear not, for the highest has come upon you." Isn't it amazing that God left the palaces of heaven and was born in a lowly stable? And here He said, "For unto us a child is born." I'm glad that God sent Jesus my way. I'm glad He sent us to you and sent us for me. But my friend, we would be hopeless today unless this child was born. I'm thankful for the love of Christ this morning. We see that He's wonderful in His humanity. But look, secondly, He's wonderful in His humility. The Bible said unto us, a son is given. I'm reminded in the book of Philippians, chapter number 2 and verse 5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." This morning He's wonderful in His humility. There we see a son was given. I'll never ever get this text out of my mind and my heart in John 3:16. People think that it's so simple. It is simple, but it's so profound. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." You know, it'd be a lot easier if He had 10 or 15, could give one of those. But He gave all He had, the Lord Jesus, to go on Calvary's cross to die for your sin and my sin. He's wonderful in His humility. In Isaiah 53, the Bible said that He was a sheep dumb before her shearers. He humbled Himself. And there He took our sin upon Him. You say, "Preacher, why do they call Him wonderful?" Because He's wonderful in His humanity. He's wonderful in His humility. But I want you to look, He's also wonderful in His honor. The Bible said, "And the government shall be upon His shoulder." You know, the government upon His shoulder. Did you know in Luke 15, when He left the 99 and He went after that one lost sheep, the Bible says this, He took and He laid it upon His shoulders, plural. But here in the Bible, it says He's putting all the government upon His shoulder. It reminds me of His strength this morning. It reminds me of His sovereignty. Can I tell you, America is not taking Him by surprise. He's ruling and reigning as He sees fit. He's in control. The election didn't knock God off His throne, friend. Let me tell you, the government is upon His shoulder. I'm reminded, look with me here in Revelation 19 and verse number 11. At the great millennial reign, Revelation 19 and verse number 11. Wonderful in His honor. Let's look and see how John writes about Him in Revelation 19 and verse number 11. He said, "And I saw heaven open. And behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called faithful and true. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire. On his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no man knew but he himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he shall smite the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. He treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. He hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, Capital, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's wonderful this morning because of his honor. The government shall be upon his shoulder. Friend, I want to remind you today that Jesus is coming. That's nothing that's come out of a fairy tale book that's placed in the Bible. The Bible teaches us that Jesus is coming. There'll be 7 years of great tribulation upon this earth like it's never seen. But oh, when Jesus returns, He sets up His worldly kingdom and there He judges the nation of Israel. But my friend, on that great second coming of our Lord, He's going to rule and reign. He returns on a white horse. You say, well, preacher, I don't like horses. You better get accustomed to them, because if you're saved by the grace of God, the armies of heaven, this old world, they may mock Him. They may spit in His face. They may think that God's not writing nothing down. But friend, I come to tell you, there's a payday coming someday, and the Lord will return by His honor. He could look through all heaven. He could find Amos the prophet. He could find Malachi. He could find Isaiah, Jeremiah. He could look and find Paul or David. He could look and find Samuel. He could look and find Samson. But friend, there is only one that the Word of God is written upon him, that vesture of blood as he returns to rule and reign. I'm glad I'm in that army of the blood-washed, born again, of the children of God, honey. I come to tell you today, this ain't the end of the story. The government is upon his shoulders. And I'm thankful I'm headed to the glorious city this morning. Oh my, no wonder they call him wonderful. No wonder they call him wonderful. He's wonderful in his humanity. He's wonderful in his humility. He's wonderful in his honor. But thirdly, I want to say this. He's wonderful in his history. Only one was called wonderful. And here, He has the name above all names, the Lord Jesus. He's wonderful in His history. In Philippians 2 and verse number 9, Philippians chapter number 2 and verse number 9, I want you to listen to this verse. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him, given Him a name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God and the Father. He's wonderful in His history. There's nobody like Jesus. I've never met nobody like Him. And He is wonderful because of His history. Then I want to say, fifthly this morning, you'll notice the Bible refers to Him as Counselor. He's wonderful in His healing. He always gives the right advice. You'll never get any wrong advice from our Lord. And here He says He's the wonderful Counselor. You know, a lot of people, many times they'll come and they'll say, well, preacher, what do you think? And certainly I can elaborate on what I think, but at the end of the day, that don't matter. It's what He says and what He thinks about our situation. A lot of people, you're wanting counsel for your life, for your jobs, your homes. Can I tell you, He's the greatest counselor that's ever been known. If you want to know something that you need in your life and heart, get in the Word of God and let the great Counselor talk to you. Oh my goodness, how many people has He counseled through the end of time? So many people when they didn't know what to do, where to go, but they would go to the Word of God, find the presence of the Lord, and He'd give them the greatest counsel. You know, it's amazing the counsel that He gives us. Sometimes we don't like it, but His counsel is always right and it always works. There's counselors who will charge you up to $300 an hour for their wisdom and their knowledge. But let me tell you, there's nobody like His counseling, for He's got everything here that we need this morning. Oh, what a great Counselor. No wonder they call Him wonderful. He's wonderful in His history, but He's wonderful in His healing. In Matthew 11 and 28, let this old verse sink into your heart this morning. Matthew 11 and verse number 28. Here the Bible says this. It's an old, old passage. You're very familiar with it. Listen to it about this wonderful Counselor. Come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn of Me. Learn of who I am, what I am. For I'm meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For My yoke is easy, and My burden is light. No wonder they call Him wonderful. As the great Counselor, we see that He's wonderful in His healing. And then you'll notice this in that text in Isaiah. Not only is He wonderful in His healing, but He's referred to as the Mighty God. The Mighty God. He's wonderful in His helping. Wonderful in His helping. You know, the devil will so oppress you and so torment you, he will make you think there is no hope and it's no way anything can get better. But I want you to look what this text says. He is the Mighty God. There are a lot of little gods that set up in this nation. There are some mosques, there are some tabernacles. We'll go in yesterday, today. They'll pay their homage to a statue, to a God that is dead. But our God is very much alive this morning. He's the Mighty God. Underline this in your Bible. Go to Ephesians chapter number 2 and watch this passage. Ephesians 2 and verse number 14. That He's wonderful in His helping. Do you need any help with life this morning? In Ephesians 2 and verse number 14, He's wonderful in His helping. For He is our peace, who hath both won and hath broken down the middle wall partition between us, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinance, for to make Himself a twain, one new man, so making peace, that He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, came and preached peace to you which were far off and to them that were nigh. For through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? It's wonderful in His helping. Well, He is the Mighty God and He can do anything. He saves sinners this morning. There's nothing too hard for Him. Look in Ephesians 3. Turn to the right in your Bible. Paul says this. He said in verse 14 of Ephesians 3, for this cause I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, length, depth, and height, to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with the fullness of God. Verse 20 about this Mighty God. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages of the world without end. Can I tell you today that He's wonderful in His helping? He is the mighty God. But then, there's another term in Isaiah 9 that is mentioned. Not only is He wonderful in His healing, wonderful in His helping, but He's wonderful in His heritage. Look what the Bible says. He is the everlasting Father. He's wonderful in His heritage. Watch your Bible now. One of the last places we turn, the book of Psalms 27. I want you young people to always remember this verse and underline it. Psalms 27, verse number 10, the everlasting Father. I remember one day in my study I found this verse. I underlined it and I've seen it now many years. It speaks volumes to my heart. Talking about the everlasting Father. In Psalms 27 and verse 10, David says this, "When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up." I'm thankful I have an everlasting Father this morning. You know, all through life as a young child, one of my greatest fears was losing my dad. One of the greatest fears I had all my life. I remember here one morning that I had to leave and go do my dad's service. He had passed. And the Lord showed me this verse. And I've come to find out that the God that lives in me and the God of this Bible, I'll never have to say goodbye to. For He's the everlasting Father. He stood the test of time. And did you know this? That God has no grandchildren. They're His children. He's our Father. And I'm thankful that our Father lives forever. We'll never have to say goodbye to our Father. For He's the everlasting Father. No wonder they call Him wonderful. You know, the Jews, I was reading to the commentators as they wrote about this passage. They said that the Jews were all in one accord with this text till this phrase came up and said, "He's the everlasting Father." They believe in Jesus. When it says He's the everlasting Father, that crossed the line with many. You know what that means? He was God manifested in the flesh. And therefore, He lives forever. And I'm glad this morning He's my everlasting Father. Miss Sherry, would you come this morning? Not only is He wonderful in His heritage, but I want to say lastly, He's wonderful in His harmony. Look what He does. The Bible refers Him to this, and this is what many people are missing. The Prince of Peace. The Peace Giver. The Peace Giver. You know, in Romans 5, in verse number 1, no wonder they call Him wonderful because He's wonderful in His harmony. Look what He does for us in Romans chapter number 5 and verse 1. "Therefore, being justified by faith," here's our phrase, "we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." You see,